We're studying chapter 31. This is going to be our... This is going to be our third segment. Now, to refresh everybody's memory, we started off troubleshooting. We have a problem here. The only way to overcome the what we called EDD, the emotional deficit disorder, where the neshama is not functioning right and people aren't responding to spiritual stimuli, is by crushing the enamel, which is kind of locking the heart and the soul. And only when a person's brought low, and only when a person's able to transcend their own ego and their own imagined self-importance, so that's when the neshama is able to shine forth. The problem, of course, is that this will bring a person into a state of sadness and depression. That's not a good thing. So what do we do? How do you work this out? So the Alter Rebbe says, sadness isn't all bad, as long as you use it as a way to vault yourself into greater happiness. And similar to a theme that he started several chapters ago, where he says, "Bechol Eitziv Yomeser," that in every kind of negativity there can be profit. And earlier, the Alter Rebbe established that the concept of sadness and depression is klipa. It's a husk. It comes from an unholy place. But having said that, the Alter Rebbe goes on to say that here in this situation, there is no other way to deal with the EDD. There is no other way to reveal the neshama other than crushing the sitra achra, the extraneous nature, which is prohibiting and proscribing the true essence of a person for being revealed. So the only way is by making these morose kind of calculations and these brutally honest self-introspection. So he says, so then... The truth is, le'itim tzorech le'er b'chinas gvuras kadesha. Sometimes you need to have a certain harshness to be able to deal with the harsh reality of the nefesh habamis itself. And he uses interesting terminology here. It's very mystical, but it probably can be understood also in a very literal way. He says, this is in order lahamtik hadinim, in order to sweeten the judgment. Sheheim b'chinas nefesh habamis. This represents the animal soul. This represents the yetzahara. Kishesheilet chas v'shalom ala adam. So as a rule, we don't look for sadness. We don't look for depression. We look to be in a state of joy. We look to elevate ourselves. And that's the way we can be close to Hashem. In fact, it's very clear, halacha, that the divine presence doesn't rest upon a person. A person cannot experience an elevated state of consciousness save when he's in a state of joy. The thing is that there are times when we won't be in a state of joy. And the question is what to do at those times. There's, oftentimes in medicine, the problem is that there's competing issues. So a really good doctor has to know that if he'll give one medication to deal with blood pressure, he might now instead be causing hemorrhaging. Right? This is a very simple level. Of course, medicine gets much more sophisticated. But the problem is if there isn't enough pressure in the blood, so you've got to thin the blood, but if you're thinning the blood and the blood isn't coagulating normally, you're going to cause, God forbid, a stroke or hemorrhaging or internal bleeding, and that's another problem. So the question oftentimes becomes balancing the issues. You have multiple issues that are competing with each other. And if you deal with only one issue and you stay with only a singular focus, you could kill the patient. So you have to kind of balance the issues here. Now, earlier, the Alter Rebbe is talking, broadly speaking, sadness, depression is a terrible thing. It's what destroys a person and it disables Avedas Hashem. However, there are times when there's no other way to deal with the spiritual indifference that's developed, where normative stimuli isn't stimulating any kind of response. So what do you do? Then it says when things get tough, the tough get going. Then we need to have some kind of difficult reality and use difficult methodology because the reality is difficult. And this is the notion of lahamtik adinim. So din represents the opposite of chesed. Chesed is on the right and din is on the left. Chesed is benevolence, exuberance, happiness, light, that which is freewheeling and giving. And din is restraint, and din is judgment, and din could be harsh and demanding and exacting, very high standards. And now we have a situation where when somebody has a dinim reality, we can simply forget about the dinim, refocus, ignore the negativity, ignore the issues, ignore the problems, focus on the positive, and put somebody into a more positive frame of mind, which is a strategy, and sometimes it works. Sometimes it works well. But then, at the end of the day, we have to deal with issues. If we don't deal with issues, then the issues fester, and if they don't go away, they can actually get worse. They can ferment and incubate, And then in the end they can express themselves or reveal themselves at a later time, which is far more debilitating. I think this is the basic working principles of what today they call post-traumatic stress disorder, where for a long time it was thought that people didn't really have to deal with issues, you could just get past it. So I know firsthand in policing, 20, 30, or 40 years ago, nobody ever heard terminology post-traumatic stress disorder. If a police officer was in an altercation, if shots were fired, if there was mortality and murder, they would tell the cop, like, suck it up, man, get over it, be a man, move on. And then this would cause terrible problems. Psychiatrists realized that this directly caused divorces and breakup of relationships and terrible problems. People fell into depression and they weren't able to function anymore. And they realized that if you don't deal with an issue, the issue doesn't go away. You can't man up always. Really, Torah knew this all along. Our sages established something called Shiva. What is Shiva? Shiva is when your life collapses. Because of certain circumstances, you can't just say, okay, you know, you lost a loved one, it's all right. It'll be okay. You'll recover, you'll bounce back. Maybe that's all true on some level, but you have to deal with it. And if you don't deal with it, it festers. If you don't deal with it, it incubates. And then something much worse comes out. So there has to be a dealing with it. So ask a simple question, is Shiva a good thing? Is it good? It's horrible. It's a terrible thing. What's the alternative? Not having a Shiva? It's infinitely worse. As to the question of what happens when it's before Yom Tov and there's no Shiva, clearly then Torah gives somebody the strength to be able to recover, and it's not for us to question. The Torah knows what's best for us, and Chacham understood that there's things which have the ability to heal us. If somebody goes into a Yom Tov, there's something about the Yom Tov that can help a person deal, because the Yom Tov is beyond the rhyme and reason of a typical calendar day or frame of time. But the point is that dinim have to be dealt with. So if dinim have to be dealt with, we can deal with it and simply fall into dinim. We could fall into that negativity and that harshness. Or we can try to deal with it by going back to the root source of the problem and in some way trying to redirect, or what they call in the language of Kabbalah, sweeten the judgment. And there are many things we do to sweeten judgment. For example, when we bang the arava branches on the last day of judgment, which is Hashanah Rabbah, we say lahamtik hagvuris, hey gvuris, and we term lahamtik hagvuris, doing something to sweeten the judgment. So oftentimes we just redirect our focus onto positivity, but there are times you have to actually get down there and smack it down. You have to deal with it. And that's proverbially what the idea of the Hashanah, of the Hashanah branches, are about. You know, Rabbi Steinsaltz has an interesting way of putting things. He suggests that this is similar to a psychoanalyst who goes back into the root source, the issues. People have issues sometimes. They have certain phobias. They're afraid of things in an unreasonable way. And the question is, where does that come from? Why isn't everybody afraid of that in an unreasonable way? So everybody's afraid of heights to some degree. But you have a guy who can't go higher than the third floor or can't live in a high rise, we have an issue. Because most people could live in a high rise. Most people can't walk a tightrope, they live in a high rise. So when somebody has an unreasonable fear, walking a tightrope is a reasonable fear of heights. Dancing on the roof of a high rise is a reasonable fear. Not living in a high rise is an unreasonable fear. So where would that come from? And the theory, Freud's theory of psychoanalysis, is that everything has a cause. And the cause wasn't dealt with. And because the cause wasn't dealt with, it festered. And because it wasn't festered, it got stuck in your psyche. And the only way to deal with it is to go back to that very, very original thing, as if to go back in time, to go back in your heart and mind, to go back to the issue and deal with it. And find a way to redirect it. And find a way to reinterpret that, or a way to look at it differently. And with, although many Freudian ideas have been long since disproven and are not the standard textbook way of dealing with mental illness today, many Freudian ideas do still resonate. This is one of them, psychoanalysis and the ability for a psychologist or a psychiatrist not to use pharmacology, but rather to use, I guess what you would call reasoning or therapy, to be able to get a person back to a certain state where they go back to the original issue and to understand why they have the deficiencies in their behavior and to deal with the issue at its source. This is kind of a paradigm or a parable for the concept of Hatokas Adinim. So this is the Yetzer Hara. Usually we say the Yetzer Hara, don't deal with him. But sometimes the Yetzer Hara is there. You got to deal with the Yetzer Hara. So how do you deal with that Yetzer Hara? A person has a Yetzer Hara for unhealthy things. You go back to that Yetzer Hara and you find a way to redirect those same urges, those same desires in a healthy, in a positive, in a good way. So a person has an arrogance issue. So you have to deal with that arrogance, the way of harnessing that arrogance, that he should have a sense of pride for Yiddishkeit and be able to walk with his head held high and not get brought down by those who mock and laugh at the Yiddishkeit that he observes or represents. So it could be utilized in a positive way. And that's taking something which is negative, but utilizing a variety of medium in order to make it positive. Sweetening the judgment. It's still dinim. It still remains harsh, but it's sweetened. And this is like a certain culinary ability to take things which don't really taste good per se. Organically, they're not sweet or naturally not nice. But using extreme heat or using a variety of herbs, where something can be brought around through intense culinary process, that it should become delicious, that it should become something which is enjoyable. And sometimes that's even nicer than things which are naturally sweet. So natural fruit and tropical fruit, that's great. You know, people proverbially call it paradise, and it's also even have a paradise fruit. Nice, but not nearly as tasty or as enjoyable as something which wasn't naturally sweet, that was worked on intensely, and then it's a masterpiece, a culinary masterpiece, where you took the negative thing, instead of just tossing it out, you used it and turned it around. The Alter Rebbe says something extremely profound there. He says, "Ki ein hadinim nimtakin ela b'sharshan." You cannot deal with negativity superficially. You cannot simply coat the food you don't like with ketchup or drizzle it with honey and then say, "Okay, now it's going to be sweet." Well, you're drowning the sour taste, the bitter taste, but you don't actually change the bitter taste. If you want to change the bitter taste, you have to get down to the source. You can't superficially apply a sweetened medium in order to actually change the reality of what it is. So we have the situation with the satan, and the satan represents everything which is bad, right? On one hand, we have words of our sages. The Gemara says in Bava Basra that the satan has a holy intention. The satan is everything that tries to obstruct the growth of Yiddishkeit of a person's spiritual growth. So the Gemara says the satan is l'shem shemayim niskavna. The satan has a holy intention. The Zohar metaphorizes, and Alter Rebbe actually talked about this earlier. He says it's like a harlot who was sent to seduce the king's son. And she throws all her stuff into this, and she's trying very, very hard to seduce him. But ultimately, the seduction is, in her heart of hearts, she hopes she's going to fail. She's very committed to what she does, and she knows how to do it well, so she's trying to seduce him. But if she seduces him, she, as a loyal subject of the king, knows she'd destroy the king's son. And he is not going to be able then to grow into the position that his father imagines that he could. So she wants to succeed, but deep down she doesn't want him. And that's the satan. The satan is sent by God to seduce us. And the satan's trying very hard to get us into sins. But deep down, the satan doesn't really want. If you go to Chefzah Amiti of the Zayna, of the harlot, or of the satan, it's that the child shouldn't fail. And that the yid shouldn't stumble in sin, but rather you should be able to overcome and transcend it. Conversely, we have expressions that talk about the satan. That the satan, for example, the Gemara in Sukkah says that he placed his eyes in the Beis Hamikdash and destroyed it. And the idea of Nasan Einov is by the Farshim explained, it's like Ayin Hara. It's like emphasizing the negativity of the Jewish people. And he got the Jewish people to sin, and he wanted the Jewish people to sin. And the satan is rotten, and the satan is bad. And that when Mashiach will come, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Shachtel HaSatan. He will destroy the satan, he'll slaughter him, and there'll be no satan, there'll be no more negative energy, and all this will be gone forever. So which is true? Will the real satan please rise? Is the satan all bad, or is the satan really have something good in him? And the answer, of course, is that there is an element, the root source of everything has to be good. Even the satan, even something which is entirely negative, it has to have a good root, because everything comes from God, and God is all good. So everything has to have a good root at some point. But the way it goes through the process of gestation and development, sometimes you don't see that at all. And all of what develops from that root has to be destroyed. But the actual root, or the spark of its true existence, can be redeemed and can be brought into the side of holiness. So it will no longer exist as a satan, it will no longer exist as a zaynish or b'zayir HaKadosh, but it could exist, the positivity or the good element could exist. And here then becomes the point. The point is that the Yetzer Hara can be utilized. We can harness our Yetzer Hara. Like people can harness everything from slothfulness and laziness to arrogance and anger. How? In a holy way, in a good way. Because there are good things to get angry about. When people are indifferent about Jewish people suffering because they're demonized by anti-Semitic people as settlers or whatever else it is, be they Jewish or not, by the way. But when people demonize Jews really in an unfair way, then that should bother you. It should make you angry. And if it doesn't make you angry, something's wrong with you. That doesn't make you a high-minded, nice person. It makes you an indifferent person if you can't condemn evil. If a person has slothfulness, they should employ that slothfulness and to sin. That when it comes to sin, they should be, whatever, okay, fine, let's push it out of your mind. I'll do it next week, Satan, and leave me alone. I don't have time for that sin. And just push it off. Keep pushing them off. So you utilize that faculty not to end up in a negative place. Person has anger issues? Great. Take your anger and harness it and channel it and direct it against the Yetzer Hara. The next time the Yetzer Hara comes to you and tries to get you to sin, you lash out vociferously and angrily against the Yetzer Hara. And guess what? Our sages actually say this. The Gemara actually says this in the Gemara Brachas, and that's the next words of the Alter Rebbe. L'chein Amar Rabbi Seinu Zechein L'Vracha. This is why our rabbis say the Masechet Brachot on page 5, the famous Gemara that says La'olam Yargiz Adam Yetzer HaTov. That for you should have an angry Yetzer Tov. Your Yetzer Tov should be infuriated against the Yetzer Hara. How dare you? There was a Chassid of the Alter Rebbe who reached the highest levels of spiritual growth and development called a Beinoni. So they asked him, "How did you become a Beinoni?" Everybody knew he was a Beinoni, but the greatest humility. But this way, he didn't do anything wrong. And he managed, he had valiantly battled his Yetzer Hara. So how'd you do it? He said, "I'll tell you the truth, I did it with arrogance." He said, "Arrogance? Arrogance is a terrible thing. You became a Beinoni with arrogance?" He says, "Yeah, every single time the Yetzer Hara would try to get me to sin, I would say, me, a chassid of the Alter Rebbe, I should do that? You must be kidding. It's beneath my dignity, I'm sorry. You have to find me a different Aveda, that such an important person like me, you know, if you want me to steal, make it $1 billion, then I'll be tempted. But what, steal a few $100s? You have to be kidding. It's beneath me. I'm not going to do that." In other words, he utilized what could have been a very negative trait in which he would have looked down at others and thought that he was better than everybody else. He utilized that to destroy his Yetzer Hara. And it's partly humorous, but it's partly not. This is actually a serious joke, a really serious joke. This was a very serious way that a serious man dealt with serious issues and lived a serious life, albeit a happy life. A fulfilling life, a Yiddishkeit life, but a serious life. And he didn't do those Avedas. And therefore, if a person has whatever negative qualities a person has, those qualities can be dealt with. Now, they're not easy. It's not fun. And oftentimes, we'd rather not deal with it if I could ignore it. So you just ignore it. And there are certain areas of life where the Rebbe's common advice to people was Hesach Hadas. People who have desires for unhealthy intimacy or things like that which are against the Torah, that I would say, Hesach Hadas, push it out of your mind, don't think about it. The more you focus on it, the more negative it gets. And the truth is that if you could just push it into a dark corner and not deal with it, sometimes it is the better thing. The problem is that's not always possible. V'hainu, when is this? So a person should look to be angry? Let me get angry now. Of course I'm going to be angry in a good way. I'm going to get my Yetzer Tov angry at my Yetzer Hara, but I'm not. No. It's not that good. This is what we called in Yiddish, belez bereira, when there's no choice. When you have a situation where you're anyway in that negative reality, you're anyway unhappy, now utilize that mood and that moment for Avedis Hashem. This is what has to be used at the time. You'll know when you need this. And when you need it, then you fire up your engines and do it. Achshas HaKosher, when is the appropriate time for most people? So he says, Kishihi Shah Hamyuchedis Vuyuruk Lacharev Adam is Bishah Shahu Eitzev Balav Hachim Emil Dalma. When a person gets in a bad mood, everybody gets in bad moods. If you see a person who gets in no bad moods, he probably gets in no good moods, or he's on Prozac. It's not normal never to be in a bad mood. This is the way the reality is, that Rebbe Rashab, one of his Mamarim, says that everything in the world is in a state of flux. The leaves rustle, the waves recede, and then they come back crashing. Everything is in a state of movement. It's called Ratzi V'Shoiv, advance and retreat. Even the earliest moment where life is detected, when they do this sonogram, what do you see? You see a heartbeat. It expands and contracts, expands and contracts. Everything lives in a state of movement, coming in and going out. The wind blows in, the wind blows out. This is the way it is. And people's moods, it's normal. People have mood changes. They don't always wake up in a fantastic mood, and they don't always wake up depressed. Now, if somebody wakes up 95% of the time depressed, they have a problem. And if somebody wakes up 95% happy, they're great. You're very lucky. And then there are people that there's a balance. There are happier times, less happy times. Sometimes there's external stimuli. Sometimes we're unhappy because of things that are happening around us. Sometimes if you're not unhappy, then something's wrong with you. You need to be unhappy now. If you're happy, then in a certain time, you don't get it. You have serious emotional or mental issues if you don't get why we should be sad now. And then there are times that people are just in a bad mood just like that. So why am I in a bad mood now? I don't even know why. And the Alter Rebbe says, whatever, that it is what it is. But if I'm in that bad mood anyway, so invariably when people get into one of these moods, they start looking at all the things that aren't right. They look at things, the wardrobe I don't have, the motor vehicle I don't have, the real estate I don't own, the stocks and bonds I don't have, the relationships I don't have. You start to look at all the things that are missing in your life, all the frustrating things, all the vexing things, all the things that make you unhappy. So what do you do then? And the answer is that that's a shas ha-koysha l'hapacha eitzev liyas ha-marad d'chushbana. As soon as you feel a mood like that coming, great, grab it, seize it. And being on it means, instead of thinking about the clothes I don't have, the car I don't have, the house I don't have, the pool I don't have, the vacation I don't have, what do you think about? The davening I missed out on, the tzedakah I didn't do wholeheartedly, the learning which wasn't 100% focused because my mind was wandering, and the list goes on. A million things that could be done better. Our Yiddishkeit, they could, and therefore focus on those things. I'm missing those things. My davening is deficient. Forget my wardrobe. My Avas Yisrael stinks. Wow. It does? Yeah, you know. Be honest. Look at this, look at that, look at the other thing. Oy vey. How could I even face God? How could I stand up in the morning and say, Hareini mekabelai mitzvah sasei v'yahavta le'ach kamecha, when I have so much animosity and acrimony and frustration and anger and hatred toward this one and that one? I got a problem. I have an issue. I have to cleanse my soul of all this negativity. And let's just redirect your focus. What's so good about that? You're still in a bad mood. Well, I'll tell you what's so good about that. Because now you're actually harnessing and utilizing it for a positive purpose. Now something good will come out of the bad mood. Namely, you'll have less anger or acrimony in your heart. Namely, your davening might be a little more focused. Because you decided to give a hoot that your davening is just this mind-wandering experience where you travel around the world in 40 minutes. Instead of talking to the Bnei Shalom, where you're learning Torah becomes a focused thing instead of another confused thing where I'm in and out, but I'm actually learning Torah, I'm sticking with the program and getting it to the solid, and so many other examples. So then when that mood kind of passes, what are you left with? I'm left with strengthened and fortified Yiddishkeit. I'm left a better person. And that way I was mamtik, I sweetened the gvuris b'sharshon. So you're worried about getting into a bad mood, don't worry about it. Don't have anxiety about it. Because if you get into that bad mood, it's a perfect opportunity. How did one very not so clean politician say? Never allow a good crisis to go to waste. He said, never allow a good crisis because there's always something to be done with it. So you can either get down about the crisis, say, I have a crisis here. How are we going to utilize this? And of course, I don't agree with that politician. That's a horrible way to look at life. It's very, very cold and indifferent and terrible way to look at suffering and misfortune. And I'm not suggesting that I actually subscribe to that. What I am suggesting is that if we have negativity in our life, and negativity is anything which is not fully joyous and happy, that negativity should be harnessed and utilized for Avodas Hashem Yisbarach. And if we utilize it for serving Hashem, then it isn't all bad. Don't look for it. But if you meet it anyway, then seize the moment and redirect. With this, we conclude part 3 of Tanya 31, as they say, to be continued.